Pastor Gregory is away this Sunday and next, but we are continuing in the Gospel of Mark, and today we enter into Mark chapter 4. It's helpful as we get into this chapter to realize that Jesus has moved to the seaside, and so many people are following him and crowding around him that he's actually forced to get into a little boat and to set back from shore, because the crowd is crushing in upon them. They're so eager to hear his teaching. They want so much to know more. And so Jesus sets back in this boat, and he begins to teach. And he begins to tell a story in Mark chapter 4. And it's a story that raises up imagery that's very familiar for the people of the day. In fact, it's entirely possible that as Jesus was teaching, there was a farmer nearby, because he says, "Look," as if he's drawing their attention. Or maybe they saw a farmer as they were walking on the way to the seashore. Maybe it's even the wrong time of year, but it's an image that everybody is familiar with who is listening to him. The familiar image of a farmer who has a sack of seed slung over his back. And he walks through his field and his arms rhythmically going back and forth as he scatters the seed to be planted. A very simple image, a very simple story, but one that carries a significant spiritual truth. One that is important for his day and his audience, and one that continues to be important for us. You see, there's been a progression in Mark chapter 4. And it is a progression of gradual rejection of Jesus and his message. Mark 3 starts out with an incident that ends with the Pharisees and the Herodians beginning to seek a way to kill Jesus, to get rid of him. Then as you progress through the chapter, you hear that the scribes begin to hate him and to plot against him. We also learn in this chapter that even his own family thinks he's crazy. So there starts to be a movement against Jesus and against his teachings, and he uses the simple story of the sower to explain why it is that not everyone who hears the word bears fruit for eternal life. In fact, he clarifies, we must welcome the word humbly and deeply and exclusively. That's the message that he has in Mark 4. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, since it had no root. It withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said to them, 'He who has ears, let him hear.' When he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven.' And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. We often refer to this as the parable of the sower, but the attention is on the soil, and it could really be called the parable of the soils. The attention is on how we hear and how we receive the word as it is given. But before we get into all that, there's one thing that really needs to be pointed out. An important thing that we're going to state and move on to talk about the soils. And that is that the sower is sowing the word. The sower actually tells people about Jesus and about the gospel. Imagine how silly this parable would be if the sowing of the seed didn't take place and it's just a barren field and maybe plowing and maybe watering, but no sowing. This starts out with a very clear truth. The sower goes with the word and sows the word, and then the soil, depending upon its nature, produces a crop, bears fruit for eternal life. We're going to talk about that more next week as we get into more parables in this chapter. But just keep it in mind. We are the sowers. We are the ones who have the word. Let's be sowing it among those around us. Okay, so the sower has done his work. The seed has been sown, and we are presented with four different kinds of soil. And the first one is the soil that is hard. The seed falls on it and doesn't penetrate. It's laying out there exposed. The birds come away and eat it. The seed is consumed and no crop is produced. And Jesus explains very clearly that it is those who hear but do not believe. It is those who do not understand and are not saved. And the essential point to understand is the hardness of the soil, so that the word does not penetrate. Minds that are closed, hearts that are hard, and so the seed is not able to let down its roots, it's not able to germinate, no life is produced. We just move on. I think the thing that closes our hearts and minds is the image that we have of ourselves as people, of perhaps being strong, of not needing anything, or maybe of being intelligent. We've moved on beyond all that kind of stuff. Maybe we view ourselves as being particularly enlightened, so that these truths, or the things that are being taught, do not apply specifically to us. When it gets down to it, the issue with the hardened soil is a heart that is hardened by pride. One way or the other, I do not need that. Interestingly, according to Jesus, that person is actually deceived. That person is actually imprisoned. The hardness of heart comes about because Satan has deceived the individual into thinking that there is a particular level of enlightenment or a particular level of strength or a particular level of independence. But that very perception of independence and strength is a manifestation of weakness, of slavery, of deception. And we are called to let the word penetrate past our pride, to break up our complacency, and then to produce life and to bear fruit. We are called to humbly hear the message. And if there's not been a point that pride has been broken, and that humility has allowed your heart and mind to open to the good news of Jesus Christ, ask Him today for the softness. Ask Him today for the faith to hear that word and to receive it deeply. The second soil is a little bit different. And I think sometimes when we read and say rocky soil, we get an image of going out in our backyard and trying to plant a garden. And as soon as we get the shovel into the soil, we hit a rock and we have to dig up around that rock and pull that rock up. And then there's another rock. And there's so many rocks in my garden. I don't know about yours. Anytime I try to get something done in my backyard, I'm running up against them. But that's actually not what's going on here. This is a layer of rock that is covered by a thin layer of soil. And so when the seed falls on it, it doesn't penetrate deeply again. It stays close to the surface. As soon as the lightest rain comes along, as soon as the sun then shines, there's the right conditions for it to spring up. And it springs up quickly under these conditions. But then the heat comes along. And it sprung up quickly and it has not let down its root. And so the heat withers the plant and it dies. The key factor here is a quick response, a recognition that there's something there that I want. But the failure to have enough root, the failure to have enough depth to withstand the difficulties when they come. I saw this happen once. It actually happens a lot. But I can tell this story because it was in Russia a long time ago and that person will never hear about it. Rather than tell the stories of how it happens today. There was a man that Mary and I became acquainted with him and his wife, developed a relationship, had an opportunity to hear about the difficulties in life, particular problems. And one day he was in my house and we were playing a game of chess together and he seemed to be particularly sensitive, so shared the gospel with him. And you could see that there was a response. You could see a little bit of desire on his part. You can see a little bit of excitement at the idea that there can be something in this life other than the endless cycle of futility that we so often go through. You could see the desire for something more. There was the beginning of a response. And when we came to the moment of challenge, and I asked him if he would be willing to pray with me, he said, "There's something I gotta think about." So I prayed for him, and he went home, and that was actually the last time I ever saw him. As it turned out, beside his wife, he had a girlfriend. And that was the week that he made the decision to run off with his girlfriend and left his wife. There was something there. There was a response. But the response was not enough to withstand the pressure of giving up something that was important to him. And the response flopped over and died in the heat of temptation. I tell the story not because that's the only way that this happens. In fact, the key element of this story is not so much time. It's not whether it doesn't hold up for one day or for 2 weeks or for 3 months or for 4 years. The key element is the inability to withstand. The issue is staying power in the face of one kind of difficulty or another. And it's actually surprising how long it can take sometimes before the heat of the sun takes its effect on the plant. Again, let me emphasize, It's not about one day or 2 weeks or 3 months or 4 years. It's about what happens when the pressure comes in. Jesus describes two kinds of pressure here. He talks about persecutions and afflictions. You might look at it as external pressures, persecutions from without, or internal pressures, what happens when affliction rises up in my life. But either way, those are the things that dry up that plant and cause it to die. So often, we respond with joy. And that's what Jesus says here. The individual responds with joy upon hearing the word. Yes, that's what I want. Because let me tell you, you really can get all the feels in the Christian faith. Wow, I never had so many friends. These people really like me. Wow, how wonderful it is to worship with joyful music. How cool it is to be able to talk about deep things in life. How wonderful it is to have God answer when I pray. It's all about the feels for this particular individual. Hearing it with joy, responding to those good feelings, but then when external pressure or internal difficulty arises, the plant dies away. External pressure is coming up in our culture. It is increasing. It's difficult to be a believer at school. It's difficult to really talk about your faith in our modern culture. You really believe that? It's difficult to take a stand for what the Bible might say is pleasing to God or is displeasing to God when it goes directly against the flow of our culture. And when we begin to feel that pressure at school or at work or at the university or wherever it might be, it's really easy to kind of let that plant wither up and shrivel and die. But it's also difficulty when the afflictions and when the difficulty comes from within. When I expect to receive one thing because of my faith and instead I get another. When I expect answers that are yes to my prayers and instead I get no. When sickness comes into my life and doesn't go away. When tragic accidents take place. When disappointments occur and it seems that maybe God doesn't care about me so much as I thought. What seems to have been a commitment to Christ turns out not to be a commitment, but a feeling when our faith comes under pressure and it withers away. True faith sticks with it when times get tough. Times are going to get tough. It's not always going to go like you want. Stick with it. Let the roots grow deep. Draw on Jesus when it's really hot outside. That's what he's calling us to do here. A third type of soil. And dear friends, this is where I personally struggle most. And this is where my greatest fear is for my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. This is the seed that falls on soil that is capable of sustaining the life of the plant. And the seed lets down its roots. And the shoot comes up. And in one of the other gospels, as Jesus tells this parable, it even begins to bear fruit. But there are thorns. There are weeds that are growing up around it. And they begin to take up all of the resources. and the fruit shrivels, it doesn't ripen. The plant continues to exist, but it struggles along through the season, and in the end, there's no fruit to be born. It's a sad story of being choked out. And Jesus says that there are three things. The first one is the one that gets me. The cares of the world. Or the pursuit of deceptive riches. Or the desire for other things. The cares of the world. They can take over my day. Do they take over yours sometimes? Bills to be paid. Exams to be studied for, business to be carried on, extracurricular activities to do the taxiing for, you know, whatever it is. The cares of the world, day in and day out. So busy with the concerns of this life that there is little time for the things of God and perhaps even little interest. And no fruit is born. The pursuit of riches. Probably the single greatest deception, that's how Jesus describes it, in our world today. I need something bigger. I need something better. I need something fancier. I need something shinier. I need to secure my future. What? Because it's not secure in Jesus? I need to secure my future. I need to provide for not just my needs, but my desires, and caught in the cycle over and over. And the deception is not simply the fact that that cycle will never reach an end, that there will never be enough. The deception is that the end, it will prove to be entirely fruitless and worthless and will be burned up. And what remains? And it chokes out the life of the plant. And in the end, there's no fruit. And then the desire for other things. It's kind of like the et cetera of the story. Jesus doesn't say what the other things are. There could be all kinds of things. They could be bad things. They could be good things. But it's the desire for those things instead of an exclusive pursuit of Jesus Christ. And those things, I don't know, could be sports, could be gaming, could be movies, could be friends, could be coffee, you know. Whatever it is that takes over, what's the first thing you think about in the morning? When you get up and you grab your phone, are you checking the European markets and the futures? Are you checking Facebook to see how your friends are doing? Are you checking the fashion news? Are you checking the sports scores? Or are you going to the Word? Those other things can press in and take over and choke out the fruit. It's a good question to ask. What gets my attention first thing in the morning? What gets my most valuable resource, which is probably my time? What makes me mad or sad or glad? Is it the gospel of Jesus? Or is it all this other stuff? That's what he's drawing our attention to here. We are satisfied with too little when we're satisfied with anything but the abundant joy that can be ours in Jesus Christ. And then the fourth soil, it's so simple. The soil that hears, that receives. In the Gospel of Luke, it says it holds on, and bears fruit. And the point here that Jesus is making is the abundance of the fruit. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. We're talking about spiritual fruit in our own lives as we are made more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. We're talking about spiritual fruit in other people's lives as they are won to Jesus because of His seed being planted by us in them. This, by the way, is your best life now. We hear so many deceptive gospels about overcoming affliction, about not being touched by persecution, about never having to give up anything for Jesus. The best life is the one that receives the word and lets it penetrate deeply to change us at the very core of our being and produce fruit for Jesus Christ, for His glory, and for our joy. These are the results of a life that are transformed by the word as it takes root in our soul. And as we begin to talk about how the word can take root in our soul and transform us, let's remember that there is hope for every one of us in this passage. From one perspective, Jesus is actually giving a postmortem here. He's telling a story about what already happened. Some seed fell on the hard soil, some seed fell on the shallow soil, some seed fell among the thorns, other seed bore fruit. He's looking back, he's saying what happens, but he also says, he who has an ear, let him hear. For us, it's not a postmortem. For us, we can hear the message and respond to it. Has something maybe pricked your heart this morning? Is there a spark of interest in letting the word do its work in your life? That's a good sign. Jesus has pretty harsh words for those that do not understand. They hear it, goes in one ear, out the other, move on. It's words of condemnation about the hardening of the heart. But if you're here and you heard the word and there's some spark of life, there's some interest in pursuing something more, then it's a good sign that great things can happen in your life and in mine. Instead of being hard soil that hears the word and doesn't respond at all, Jesus is calling us to humble ourselves on hearing the message of the word and to let it penetrate and to respond to it. Pastor Mitchell talked last week. Who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters? It is those who hear the word and obey it. Jesus is saying the exact same thing, and he continues to say the same thing through his ministry. Hear the word and respond to it. Hear the word and obey it. Hear the word and live it out. You are hearing this morning. I am hearing this morning. May we soften our hardened hearts. May we break our pride and in humility say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me this morning? What do you want me to do? Give me a heart that responds, that is soft to you, and He will answer. The seed that falls on soil that is not shallow produces a plant that can withstand the difficulties of life. That soil is soil that is based on the person and the work of Jesus Christ and not on how I feel about the circumstances around me. And so the call for us is to get deeper into who Jesus is and what He has done for me. Who Jesus is and what He accomplished on the cross. Let's respond in faith to the message about Him, not a message about us or about how we feel. Not a subjective experience, but a deep understanding of our Savior. And then, regarding the soil that has so many cares, so many concerns, so many pursuits, Jesus calls us to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow Him. A true test of discipleship is not if we prayed some words at some particular time in history and maybe even have that date written down in the front of our Bible. A true test of discipleship is whether we will pick up our cross daily and follow Him until the day He calls us home. And it takes daily discipline. And we're learning it all through our lives, and I'm still learning it daily. Make the decision to put Jesus first ahead of all those pursuits and all those concerns. Tomorrow morning, when you get up, make a decision. Jesus is first today. And keep making that decision. The cares of life, or so I am told, will move aside. And there'll be abundant fruit for Jesus in our own lives and in the world. He said to His disciples, "This is to My Father's glory, that you will bear much fruit, showing yourself to be My disciple." He calls us through this parable to allow the Word of God to penetrate into us, to respond, to welcome the Word in humility, to let it go deeply, and to hold on to it exclusively. And then He tells us to look for the abundance that results. Let's pray about that together.